I said, if you got a praise tonight, give him your hallelujah. Give him your thank you, Jesus. Give him your glory to God.
You are listening to the very best of community radio, presenting the gospel at 88.1. This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria, Louisiana.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministries Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Bless you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed in reverence to God. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, once again, we thank you for this blessed privilege to be in your house to hear your word. But God, we're more excited about you being in our hearts. And so, Lord, as you speak to us tonight, as you challenge us tonight, as you minister to us tonight, we open up our hearts, our minds, and our spirits so that you might come in and have your way. Now, Lord, we thank you in advance for what you shall share with us this day. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And all the saints said, amen. Well, give God some glory as you're seated in his presence. God bless you. We thank God for you tonight. And certainly, we want to speak a word. It's going to be a short word because of our meeting. We'll try and get out of here on time for those things that we don't keep you all night, because God's got a word, don't take all night to give it to you. So it's just touch your neighbor and say, God's going to encourage you tonight. If ain't nobody sitting by you, just touch yourself and say, God's going to encourage me tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You know, many of us are dealing with the long-term effects of the hurricanes Katrina and Rita, not so much Rita as much as Hurricane Katrina, but how many of you know we've been dealing with some stuff long before they ever showed up? Amen. And we're treating this like this is the worst thing that has ever happened. And, you know, grant you, it has changed and affected our lives in many different ways, and there are some people's lives who will never ever be the same again, but that's not necessarily a bad thing. Sometimes what happens and seemingly happens for the worst, God turns it into good. And if we would trust God, what has been a travesty and a tragedy on the one hand can ultimately be turned into a triumph on the other hand. God's going to use the situation to put some people in places they never would have gotten had Katrina not blown through here. And yet it's going to increase us and our faith and our patience with those, again, a turn of events that happen in our lives that, again, affect us in a personal way or even in a public way in terms of all of the inconveniences that we now experience in our city because of the influx of so many people that this city was not prepared to deal with. So all of these things will try you, but I'm here to tell you, if you just see it the way God has already organized this thing in the Word, it'll be a blessing to you. Now, the devil wants it to bother you, but God wants it to bless you. And it just depends on whose report you're going to believe. So I want to encourage someone tonight for just a little while and tell them that you can make it or take it because Jesus prayed for you. Now, I know you might be like, Pastor, that's what you got to tell me tonight. Well, if you really heard that tonight, you'd be shouting already, because There are some things that God's doing and getting ready to do that through that same reality is going to encourage your heart, because you're going to recognize again that if you thought Katrina was the worst thing that has ever happened in your life, you just keep living. There are some other things that are going to come. But just like you made it through this, you're going to make it through that as well. So you need to know what God has to say about these things. Let's look at some scripture right quick. One of the things that I thank God for is His Word that encourages us, that gives us examples, that helps us to see how God operates. Look at what Jesus tells Peter one day. Now, you know, Peter was the leader of the group, the disciples, the brothers, and Peter had issues naturally. One of them was his mouth. And look at what Jesus tells him. The word says in Luke 22, verse 31, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon. And he calls his name Simon, Simon like that to put emphasis on it. It's kind of like when we were growing up, when your mom or daddy called you by your whole name. You know, your mama just called you and holler a little bit, you might not hear. But when they say that whole, middle, last, and if there's anything else on it, call it, you know they meant business. Well, whenever the Lord or anyone in the Old Testament and New Testament times pronounced the name twice, it was for emphatic purposes. So look at what the word says. It says, Simon, Simon, behold. Behold is that primitive etymological root word that we get the word binocular from, which means to focus and pay close attention to what I'm about to say. He says, Satan hath desired to have you. Now, the first thing you've got to realize and recognize that Satan already does is this, that he can't touch you, can't do nothing to you, can't even handle you unless he's got you. As long as you belong to the Lord, he's got to get permission for anything he brings to your life. It has to first be filtered through the Lord. The Lord has to put the acid test to it. The Lord has to determine whether or not it's going to be too much that's going to overload your system, or whether or not it's just going to bring you to another level of faith and function. And so what happens is, when the devil goes before God, because you're God's property, you're God's people, you're God's possession, and God takes personal anything he calls mine, the devil knows the rules. If you belong to God, know that there is nothing that happens to you that God doesn't already know about. And because God doesn't, you know, I mean, he knows everything already, and the devil knows that he can't do anything to you because you belong to God, then the reality is this, that he knows and hopes that you don't know that he can't do you a thing. But if you don't know that, he can make you hurt yourself. It's kind of like a dog behind the fence. Now, if the dog is securely behind the fence and can't get out, when he barks, why you jump? Why you get all scared? Now, it's the fear that he might get out. It's like a toothless lion roaring. I mean, if you've ever been to a zoo and you've seen a lion and heard the roar, it's a powerful roar. But here's what you need to know, that Satan is like a toothless lion. The best he can do is gum you. I mean, I'm trying to get you to understand something, that the devil can't do anything to you unless God gives him permission, or he already has you. Now, look at what he says. The devil desires to have you. If he has you, then he don't have to get permission from God, because you belong to him. But look at what he says. He wants you for not a helpful or a healthy reason. But Jesus reveals that the Lord, that the devil wanted Peter because he wanted to do him harm. But the Lord recognized that. How did he recognize that? Because he had to go to him to get permission and say, well, what you want Peter for? Well, I just won't sift him. Sift him as in break him down to the minutest degree? Yeah, I mean just totally annihilate him. Uh-huh. Well, you can't do that. I want to say to you today that you wouldn't be sitting here today if the Lord would not have prayed for you. And I'm showing you and sharing with you that he, in later scriptures I will reveal, included you in the prayer that kept Satan from taking you out already. You would not be here today had Satan's request been honored by the Lord. And so before you think you all of that and think that you're here by your own design and by your own power, I want you to know the reason you're sitting in this place today is because Jesus prayed for you. Somebody ought to give him a praise offering. Listen again. He desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. Verse 32, but the transitional word here, I have prayed for thee. Personal here. Now look at what. He makes it clear to Peter, Peter, the only reason why you won't go under and why you won't be defeated is not because you're going to do the right thing. It's not because you're going to act the right way. It's because I have prayed for you. Now, when you think about it, how many of us would be honest enough tonight here and say, you know, because I've disobeyed God, I've done some things he told me not to do, I've walked willingly out of his will in some things in my life, I know I was wrong, and I gave myself to the devil in terms of walking out of my covering, walking out of the will of God, and God could have allowed the enemy to destroy me. Is it any witnesses in the house who can say that? Okay, well, listen at this. Then the only reason why you're still here is not because you've been so holy, so righteous, obeyed the commandments of the Lord, or done all that he's told you to do. It's because Jesus prayed for you. How many of you know that there were times the flesh knew better and said, I just don't want to do better. I know I ought not have had this extra piece of cake, but I'm going to eat it anyhow. I know I ought not go here, but I'm going to go anyhow. I know I ought not do this, but I'm going to do it anyhow. I mean, and if you will hear and see the reality of the flesh versus the spirit, you'll recognize again that the only reason why you are here is because the Lord overruled what you desired to do. Even when you didn't want to keep yourself, he still kept you because you don't belong to you. You belong to the Father. Now look what he says again. He says, but I have prayed for thee. Now what did he pray for? I'm glad you asked. It's right in the Word of God. That thy faith fail not. Now look at the first portion of his prayer, that his faith fail not. Because you know we come into the kingdom of God through faith. And then as we come into the kingdom of God through faith, it is then that we begin to walk by faith. It is when we mature in faith and we move to a new level of faith, we begin to flow in faith. And the word then says, the just live by faith. The just shall live by faith. And what that means literally is that your faith then grows to a point and place where you daily trust God for your sustenance and your substance. You daily trust God to lead you and guide you. Your hope is built on nothing less than his blood and righteousness. You are trusting God for everything that happens in your life, and you begin to flow in that area knowing that God's got this thing fixed. Matter of fact, before the day ever got here, before the day was ever recorded, God already knew what was in the day, and you trust him that as his best is designed for you, that that's what he's going to release in your life as you walk and function and flow by faith. And so he reminds Peter that, Peter, you got here by faith. And he says it's going to take faith to keep you here. Now remember, Jesus is getting ready to leave off the scene. This is the Last Supper experience. He's dealing with the disciples and telling them some things. And so he's ministering here in a way that they'll understand. Now I'm no longer going to be with you in the earth realm. You're going to have to activate your faith. You're going to have to believe what I've told you according to this word. Your faith is going to have to sustain you now because I will no longer be present in your view to do the things I've done for you where you didn't actually need your faith because you had me. And he tells them all of these things. Even when you pray, you're going to no longer have, you didn't have to pray before because I was here meeting your every need. But now you're going to have to pray to the Father in my name. And whatever you say in my name, by the authority I give you, he's going to honor it. But it's going to take faith to do that. Now what he was literally telling Peter was, Peter, you're getting ready to go through some trials and some tests. Now all I'm telling you is that all it is a test. I'm giving you a heads up on a pop quiz that's coming. I'm trying to tell you, get your stuff together. The devil is going to do a sneak test on you. And And I want you to know that you're going to pass the test because I prayed for you. And so little did Peter know, a few days later, he would be tested. And look at what Jesus prayed, that his faith fail not. Now listen to this. His faith faltered, but his faith didn't fail. Oh, y'all not hearing me here. Every now and then, we our faith falters. Because you know God promised you some stuff, but it doesn't look like it's going to happen. And you start getting impatient, and you go do like Abraham and Sarah and put your hands and mess up everything. But God is faithful. And your faith falters. You do some stuff. God said, I didn't tell you to do that, but you took too long, Lord. I didn't think you were going to come. Y'all can sit here and act like I ain't talking to you, but I know I'm in the house. Listen at this. When Peter missed it and ran out, he faltered. But somewhere in his spirit, deep in his psyche, in his mind, he remembered. Jesus said, I prayed for you. And you know, when we miss it, we know we miss it. Ain't nobody got to tell us we missed it. We feel it all underneath the skin. We know something just isn't right. We know it. Ain't nobody got to tell you I told you so because you tell yourself that. And so he started following afar off because he had faltered, but he had not failed. And he stayed in this backslidden state, this following from afar off state for some 3 days until he got the word. Tell my disciples and Peter, meet me in Galilee. And so his faith was rejuvenated because he remembered that the Lord told him what Satan desired to do, but it was not completed. See, Satan desired to have you tonight. To sift you as wheat. Now listen to this. He might start it, but he ain't gonna finish it. And he started the sifting process, but the reason why he couldn't finish it is because Jesus prayed for Peter's faith not to fail. Had he prayed for his faith not to falter, it wouldn't have slipped neither. But sometimes you got to go through some stuff in order for God to complete you the way that he wants to in the earth or the natural realm. You've got to go through some tests in order to be promoted to the next level. So he told him, I'm not stopping you from going through stuff. I just don't want the stuff to go through you. You catch it either. Now listen at this. That's the first part of the prayer. The second part of the prayer is this. He says, and conjunction connecting the part before and this part here together. When thou art converted, when you pass the test, when you make it through, when you reach the other side, when you come to yourself, when you get it together. I don't want you to get big-headed. I don't want you to get high-minded. I don't want you to get self-centered. And I don't want you to think you did it on your own. But I want you to reach back to the others who are on their way and strengthen them. So here's what it means. If it took you 3 months to come through this mess and you've learned all of the different angles of how to walk through this thing because you've been there and done that, you see a brother struggling, you go and help that brother so he don't have to stay in this mess longer than a month. Are y'all not hearing me here? Don't sit there and talk about, well, I made it through. Ain't nobody helped me. And blah, 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 blah. No. You strengthen. Don't condemn your brother. Strengthen. You know, it saddens me and it agonizes me all at the same time to hear folk again because something has happened bad. They're talking about, well, see, that's the Lord trying to pay them or do them or whatever the case. Let me ask you a question. Are you in a condition or a position where you can judge anybody? If God wanted, listen, sin is sin to God. Now, he hates all sin, even the little bit of sin that you do. And so what you don't understand is if God dealt like that, it wouldn't be nobody left here on planet Earth. So if you got all of that, here's what Galatians 6 say. If a brother be overtaken in the fault, ye which are spiritual, Restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourselves. Here is the point. The only difference between the person who has fallen or the person who has been discovered is the fact that their sins have been uncovered and yours remain covered. Because I got news, if he pulled the cover off of your bed. I got news, if he pulled the curtain from before you, there's a whole lot you don't want the world to see. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Let me move to the next scripture reference that we are looking at tonight. Our time will not allow me to deal with all of these verses. However, I would like you to read this in your own devotional time. St. John chapter 17, beginning at verse 1. Look at what the word says. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said. So my question to you right now is, what is Jesus doing? He's praying. He's praying. This entire 17th chapter is a prayer that he is communicating to his heavenly Father about all of the issues that he is concerned about in this 17th chapter. Look at what the word says. And said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over how much flesh?
All flesh,
that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Now, right here, Jesus reveals to us that God knows who will be saved. Since we do not know who will be saved, it is our mission to preach the gospel to every soul. And God has done this so that we would not be judgmental or we would not be prejudiced in the preaching of the gospel. So we preach the gospel to all creatures because, again, it is the opportunity to be saved that God grants to every man. So now, but God knows who's going to be saved, and those who are going to be saved, he's already committed them to Jesus Christ. So that's what he means when he says those that he has given to him. Verse 3 says, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent, which means that they can't get to you till they come through me. And when they know you, they're going to know me, but they can't get to know you till they know me, because you sent me. Verse 4, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Now listen to this. This is Jesus speaking to the Father. Now remember again, he's getting ready to near the Calvary experience. He's completed the work that he had to do. And the work was doing the will of God in the earth realm. But the ministry that God had given him was to come and to save, to give his life for the world. He finished his work and he was about to complete his ministry in that he was going to give himself as the sacrificial lamb that would ultimately pay the price for all lost souls who would come to the Lord. Notice he speaks it also in past tense because it is good as done, because he's resolved and resigned to do all that God has assigned to his hand to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Now he's again talking about the pre-earth days when he was with the Father, the glory they shared, the unity and the communion that they had one together. And he's reminding him afresh how he desires that same union to be restored. He says here again, I have manifested thy name, verse 6, unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world, thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them, the disciples now. Listen to this. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. Now, Jesus, in this regard here, is saying, Lord, all I have right to pray for at this point in time now, as he is nearing his earthly ministry, is for those whom the Lord has assigned unto him. His job was to rescue and recover those who were lost and bring them back into a right relationship and fellowship with God. Now, Jesus is saying, everyone you assigned to my hand to do, Lord, I've gone down and I've done what you told me to do. And he's making all of this clear. He makes clear in verse 10, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. In other words, you know, James talks about having glory in your own works. When you do things that God has assigned for you to do, you can glory. Ain't nobody got to pat you on your back. When you look at a job well done, you can sit back and take glory in the fact that you were utilized in making the fruition of this assignment come to pass, or whatever God has given to your hands to do. You completed it in a spirit of excellence, and there is a glorification that takes place between the one who has created it and the creation itself, or one who has been assigned the work and the work is completed to the level of excellence. It is a certain glory that appears within and underneath the skin. This is what Jesus is talking about. In other words, Lord, I've done everything you told me to do, and it's well done. Now look at what he goes on to say. He says, verse 11, and now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. Now he changes the prayer from he and the Father to us who are here on earth to reflect the relationship that the Father and the Son have in that of unity and communion together. He says, Lord, let them act like we act together. Let them prefer one another above the other. Let them do the things that honor each other. Let them be on one accord as we are. How many of you know if we come together on any issue, the devil in hell can't have any victory or glory? And see, that's why the devil wants to keep you divided, and he wants to keep you apart from doing and joining together, because there is power in unity. And if we don't come together, and he will conquer us by dividing us. And he'll get you over here, get me over there. But if we come together and say, well, what he did you? Well, he did me this. Well, he did me. And then we expose the devil, and we come together utilizing our resources. Listen, if you got a little piece of meat and I got a little piece of bread, Lord, I'm trying to help somebody here. If we come together, we can make a sandwich. Not a sandwich, a sandwich. It's going to help us if we can work this thing together. Now, listen to what he goes on to say. He says, verse 12, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost. But the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Now he says, listen, I've never lost any single person you've given unto me except the one who really wasn't for me nor with me in the beginning. You remember Jesus in the 6th chapter of John said, did not I choose you 12? And one of you is a devil? And every now and then when I read that, when I look at the devils I got to deal with on Sunday mornings, that I got to deal with on my boards, that I got to deal with serving in positions, I begin to realize if Jesus could deal with the devil, I could deal with the devil too. Because listen to this, keeping the devil around keeps you strong. Some of you devils looking at me, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. I'm going to teach it anyhow. Now listen to this. He says the only one that was not mine was the one that did not remain. And he was a part of my group or a part of my ministry for the purpose of fulfilling scripture. I want to say this to somebody too, so you'll know this. The Lord has assigned the devil to help you do what you got to do. Y'all gonna catch this one, y'all. And you always want to pray, Lord, deliver me, you know, no, because that person's going to make you a better person. She's going to do what God wants to, and see, sometimes God won't let you get comfortable, and if a devil is around, you ain't going to get comfortable if you belong to God. because they're going to keep agitating and aggravating and vexating your nerves. But it's also going to keep you centered and grounded and keep you focused on God. How many of you know that there are a whole lot of prayers you wouldn't pray, you would not have had to pray if a devil wasn't bothering you? Some of you don't want to raise your hand because you're sleeping with the enemy. You might have invited some of your coworkers. You might have been, you know, it might be some of